And today, we need to learn that a right look at Christ's death will change you, because it changed at least one of those who sat there looking at our Lord dying upon the cross. Now, we have learned over a couple of weeks that the Israelites were saved by a look. They were to look to that pole with the brass serpent when they were bitten by the serpents. And they were told that everyone that would look would be healed, and they were. We learned last week how C.H. Spurgeon was converted through the text, Isaiah 45:22, where the Lord said, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And if sinners are ever going to be saved, they need to look by faith to the Lord Jesus in his death. But you can't look unless you know the facts.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and today we're turning to the message of the death of the Lord Jesus, going to the cross, dying, shedding his blood, and praise God, redeeming his church. In Luke chapter 18, we read that he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished." This is an amazing statement. The Lord Jesus, he is the one who is leading here. He says, "We go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets," every detail of Jesus' life, death, every detail and event of his crucifixion was already written in the prophets, all concerning the Son of Man. And Jesus said that these things shall be accomplished. We need to remember that nothing overtook the Lord by surprise on that week leading to his death, not even his arrest, and not the nailing of his body to the cross, because everything was voluntary and everything was providentially planned. "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again." Here we have the very plan and purpose of God, that the Lord Jesus should be crucified. Never think that Calvary was a mistake. Never think that it was some afterthought, but rather it was the deliberate purpose and plan of God that the Lord Jesus should go to that cross, lay down his life, become a sacrifice for sin, that we might be saved. You need to grasp this today, and I hope that as we come to our message, which is based on looking on to Jesus, that today that you will be blessed through the preaching of the word, and the Lord will bring you to saving faith in the Lord Jesus. Our message is entitled, "Never Stop Looking to Jesus." Firstly, let's just bow in prayer and ask for the Lord to help us. Father, we thank thee for the privilege of coming to your word today. We thank thee for the privilege of prayer. We thank thee for the privilege of your word, and that we have this book, that we may study it and know the truth, know the very purpose and plan of God, that we're not left in the dark on why Jesus died. We know that he died for us, that we might be forgiven. He died that we at last might go to heaven, saved by his precious blood. O Lord, I pray that you will speak to the hearts of all here today, and that there will be a word that will just open eyes and draw hearts to the cross. So let thy blessing fall afresh upon us now, in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I do invite you to stay with us through the program, through the message from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church on "Never Stop Looking to Jesus."
Would we devote
as we draw near to this Easter season, there will be millions around the world who will be rehearsing the story and the events of Calvary and of Christianity. Now, it's not that we don't major upon the cross in other seasons of the year, because at our monthly communion service, we are always called to remember the death of the Lord Jesus. And of course, as Christians, we are committed to the message of the cross each and every day. And we are to be continually living not only under the shadow of the cross, but under its victory and of its blessing in our own souls. Now, no other death has ever been studied more than the death of our Lord Jesus. And if you take away the death of our Lord, you have nothing but a shell. Christianity has no message, no meaning, and it certainly has no good news for the world. Now, most people are celebrated for their lives. And the trend these days, when there is a funeral service, people, instead of majoring on the death, they will talk about a celebration of life. Well, the Lord Jesus is so different, because all the emphasis is upon his death. And we look at his birth, that it was to lead him one day to die on the cross. We see his baptism, that it was a baptism of gospel servant nature and work, leading him to the day when he would die on that cruel tree. And so the death of the Lord Jesus is something that is unique, and it's supernatural. It has a tremendous appeal. As I mentioned, at this Easter season, around the world, millions of people will be rehearsing some aspect of the death of the Lord Jesus. And when you link the death of our Lord to the empty tomb, then you have the power of the message. Because Jesus died not in mere weakness, not defeated, not as one who was overcome, but he was the overcomer. And he defeated death. He defeated the grave. And of course, for his people, for Christians, he has defeated hell and is now risen and exalted. Now today in our Bible reading, we followed the crowd all the way through the streets of Jerusalem from Pilate's judgment hall right to that mount called Calvary, the place of execution. And the verse I want to leave before you here today is verse 36 in Matthew chapter 27. And it's a short little statement that really gets us focused today. Matthew 27 and verse 36. I hope you'll see it right in your own Bible. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now, our text today really needs no introduction. We must look at this picture close up, because here is a snapshot of the death of our Lord Jesus through the eyes of those who were his executioners. Sitting down, they watched him there. And today, we need to learn that a right look at Christ's death will change you, because it changed at least one of those who sat there looking at our Lord dying upon the cross. Now, we have learned over a couple of weeks that the Israelites were saved by a look. They were to look to that pole with the brass serpent when they were bitten by the serpents. And they were told that everyone that would look would be healed, and they were. We learned last week how C.H. Spurgeon was converted through the text, Isaiah 45:22, where the Lord said, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." And if sinners are ever going to be saved, they need to look by faith to the Lord Jesus in his death. But you can't look unless you know the facts. And I'm all about giving the facts of the death of the Lord Jesus. And you can make absolutely no determination of what you're going to do with Jesus, what you're going to do with him as a Savior, as the claims of the gospel, that you're to believe in him, trust him as the true Redeemer of his people. And you're to make that determination when you've got all the facts. And so today, we want to take a good long look at the Lord Jesus. Firstly, we want to look at the place of our Lord's suffering. It says that sitting down, they watched him there. I want to tell you that it was a particular place. It was a real place. Sitting down, they watched him there. And if you look at verse 33, you'll notice that the place is called Golgotha. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull. Now, it's a real place. It's a particular place. Indeed, if you go to the travel offices, you will find brochures inviting you to trips right to the Holy Land, to Israel, to Jerusalem. And very often, this is the place that people want to see, the place called Calvary. It's a real place that you can visit, that you can look and see where the Lord Jesus died. Now, the place that Bible Christians believe our Lord Jesus died is a place called Gordon's Calvary. And an explorer that determined the very, very place where the Lord Jesus died was called after his name, Gordon, and it's now today called Gordon's Calvary. There's another place which was inside the city, which is not believed by Bible Christians, some who are more tradition followers than they are the Bible. They might accept that, but Bible Christians believe that it was in this very spot, the place called Gordon's Calvary. Now, I've never been there, but I've seen many pictures, some videos, I've seen some photos of it, and right by it, there is the tomb. And within eyeshot of this place called Golgotha, which means a skull, and it was called a skull because it was the place of execution. It was where many skulls were buried, right there. And on that place, which is a bit of a mound, which some people believe is because of the shape of the hill, that it looks like a skull with the bare rock, and the tomb is right there. And the Bible was fulfilled in that place because our Lord Jesus was executed. He was crucified there among transgressors, the place of execution, the place of criminals. And can you take it in that the Son of God, who never sinned, who was innocent, made his company, his scene of death and his burial to be among transgressors. Now that was for you. That's the place. It was also a public place because Jerusalem was having a feast day. You remember what the Pharisees said, not on the feast day. Because on this day it was so public, there were so many around. This was the Passover feast, when thousands upon thousands from without the city made their pilgrimage to come into the city, and the streets were just thronged with people. And so when our Lord Jesus was led out from Pilate's judgment hall, out through the streets, through that north gate to the place of Calvary, it was a most public scene. The streets were crowded. And then at Calvary itself, there were many passers-by, we're told, right down in verse 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. So this was such a public scene. Now, Jerusalem has to be the crossroads city of the world. And Calvary has to be the place that is now the crossroads of all events. You see, there is no other place in the world, not in Africa, not in Asia, not in North or South America, not even in other parts of Europe, where all the events of history, political forces, and religion converged so poignantly in one place. And it was there, outside that city gate of Jerusalem, where our Lord was crucified. Now also, it was a public place because the death of our Lord was advertised. Remember the sign that they nailed above his head in three languages? This is the King of the Jews. This was no secret. This was not done in a corner. And it is for us that God, in his providence, overruled what the Sanhedrin wanted, not on the feast day. Judas, the Lord forced his hand to declare who he was and the betrayal that he was about. And it was really the Lord who precipitated events. And God in his providence forced the crucifixion of our Lord on a very public feast day. Why? That this record would be for us. The facts would be presented. You see, many people say, I don't believe in the Lord Jesus. And I ask them, do you know the facts? And they have never really considered the facts. It was also a prophetical place because this outside the city gate, what is now known as Gordon's Calvary, is really a fulfillment of the scriptures. Because the sacrifice in the Old Testament, the sacrifice was taken outside the gate. And we read in Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He was rejected. He was looked upon as the offscouring of the world, a criminal. They cried, crucify him, crucify him. And so they laid this Roman gibbet cross upon his back and they prodded him through the streets of Jerusalem, outside, a rejectee of the people, despised and rejected. And you and I are called to go out unto him. The religious world rejected him. The political world rejected him. And you and I are invited to go out unto him, to accept him in the sacrifice that he offered, because he did so in all the very fulfillment of the scriptures and the Bible itself. Now, have you done that? Having the facts, having the truth, seeing that what happened to the Lord Jesus was the very purpose of God, that he would save sinners. Have you gone out to him and say, Jesus, my Lord, my Savior? Why are you holding back? Why have you determined that you're not a Christian? Why have you decided that you're not going to be a follower, a convert of the Lord Jesus? Do you not realize this very fact, the place where Jesus died for you? That brings us to the people who witnessed our Lord's suffering. If we're going to look at evidence and look at facts, we have to be interested in all the people who were there. Well, of course, obviously, the Lord Jesus himself was there. This was the same Lord Jesus who was the man of Galilee. He was the man who fed the 5,000, the same one who raised the dead, who healed lepers, gave sight to the blind, who preached to the multitudes. This one who came as the Son of God to bring the good news of the gospel was rejected, crucified there at the cross. Now we see here in this very statement, verse 36, sitting down, they watched him there. Who was they? The Roman guards were there. These were professional soldiers. They were given a command by their superiors to take this man and have him executed on a cross until death. And they represented the political world in all its hostility against the Son of God. In some way, you could say that they were sitting in judgment of the Son of God. After the political decision of Pilate to hand him over to the people who said, "Behold the man," and they shouted, "Crucify him," then what was being done to our Lord was the work of the political world. Now that political world, of course, is always hostile to the Son of God, to the Lord Jesus. And we live in a country today where more and more the political framework is opposed to the Son of God. There is very little time, interest, place given to the Lord Jesus. Is that the world that you're following? Is that the world that you're setting your hope in? The politics of this world that is anti-Christian. The world that killed the Son of God. You see, there are two worlds on the earth today. There is the world that is rebellious to God, that says there is no God. And then there is the world of the redeemed, where we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that world, the world of the redeemed, the world of believers, the world who have an interest in Jesus as the Savior, that's the world that Christ came into to build his church, to save his people, to call out a people for his name. Do you belong to that crowd, or do you belong to the crowd who cried, "Crucify him, crucify him"? What then will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Having now these facts before you, what will you do with Jesus?
Yes, I stand in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, bear my burden so for liberty. At last my sin I learn, then I tremble at the Lord's span, till my guilty soul imploring turn to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Salvation's plan, oh, the grace that brought it down to man, oh, the mighty God that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me, there my burden so found liberty.
This is Ian Gollaher. I appreciate this opportunity just to call on you and to speak to you about your own need of a Savior. I want to encourage you to get a copy of our booklet, A New Beginning. It's free of charge. You can have one copy or more for your friends. And it is a vital message because it lays out in heading form and verse by verse why we need a Savior, who the true Savior is, and how you may receive Christ as your Savior. This is vitally important. It is not enough to know about Jesus. You must call upon him to be your Savior. And of course, the Bible leaves no room for error. We cannot afford to be less clear on this answer to the question, what must I do to be saved? If you're asking that question, Here is God's answer in simple terms. Most people have little conception of the hatefulness of their sin in the sight of God. And that is why we have taken such pains to emphasize this point already. Only when you see your need will you be willing to apply God's remedy. And of course, the steps that are outlined here, and I'm giving you the headings, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He alone is able to save. Accept and act upon the promises of the gospel, not upon man, but upon the promises. And then you make confession of sin to the Lord. That is absolutely necessary. And then trust in the merits of Christ, the work of Christ alone. That again is absolutely necessary. So here is this little booklet, A New Beginning, and I'd love to send it to you free of charge. Give us a call, send us an email, go to our website. You'll get all the details coming up now in these announcements. Now, you've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course, to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.